Thank you for taking the time to listen to one of the recent sermons preached at Wilton Baptist Church. It is our desire as a church to strive together in building a faith, family, and future that honors and glorifies our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we can be a help to you in any way, please visit our website at wiltonbaptistchurch.com.
You would please open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17, about in the middle of your Bible, Proverbs chapter 17. Quintet, that was fantastic. God bless these singers. Proverbs chapter 17, you're Wilton Baptist this morning, and we're glad you're here, all the visitors, all the home folk. I'm a visitor. I'm a once every 3 year kind of guy. I don't get to be here very often. But Pastor and I have been longtime friends, and I'm so glad that I had the opportunity to be with you today. I'm a full-time evangelist, travels the country. I'll fly to Chicago first thing in the morning. I have to be at the airport about 5:30 in the morning. I'll fly over there, be there for 4 days, and then Peoria, Illinois for 2 or 3 days, and praise God back home. I do have a wife, you know, and I'm excited about being back with her, but I'm glad to be with you folks today. Boy, that was good music, good choir. God bless this choir. I had a music ministry conference yesterday. Had a bigger than expected crowd. We didn't have enough music. We had to share the music. We thought we had sent plenty of music, but praise God, had more than we expected. We had a good time yesterday. The Lord blessed. Had a good Sunday school hour this morning. By the way, there's church tonight. What time is the 6 o'clock evening service this week? Is it 6? Okay, just checking on that. You're welcome back. And it's a different service. You know, some churches, they have the exact same service in the evening. We always have a fresh service, every service, different sermon, different music, all that, and we want you to be back. And all the first-time visitors, we love second-time visitors, too, you know. Come for a second time, and a third time, a fourth time. So glad Miss Ginger is our newest member. Wasn't that nice to see that this morning? That was good. And God bless each of you. Well, Proverbs chapter 17. Oh, I should mention that right outside the doors, we do have some of our music CDs. Maybe we'll mention that at the end. You can get those things after the service. But right now it's time for the sermon. On Friend Day, this is our verse, Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17. Perhaps you want to mark this verse in your Bible so you would remember it and that it would stand out on the page to you. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Let's read it together. Ready? Again, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You know, I'm on social media. You do as God leads you to do. God has led me to be part of social media. I let my light shine for Jesus Christ on these different things. And you know, these social medias, they've got their own little language at times. LOL. You know, laugh out loud, I guess is what that means. Sometimes I'll write somebody a text. I'll send a text to someone, and they'll write back, T-Y, thank you. And we've gotten now K, just K. Like it takes too long to write out O-K. Now, just how much time are we saving? K. My wife, she just wastes time. She puts O-K-A-Y. What a waste. I pointed that out to her this past week. I said, you're just wasting time, woman. That's just wasting time. All those letters. Just K. But a few years ago, we learned this one. B-F-F. Best friends forever. Well, there's some things about friends that's really nice. Let me make a few opening remarks, and then we're going to look at this text. I wrote this down. You know, one of the greatest needs and one of the greatest desires that everyone has is friendship. If you're normal, you want to have friends. If you're normal, I mean, maybe you're not normal. Maybe you're saying, I don't want anybody to like me. Well, that's not normal. Normal folk want people to like each other. It's normal to even want people to love you. And to have friends is such a wonderful thing. One of the greatest needs, one of the greatest desires that everyone has is friendship. Secondly, as far as open remarks, I want to say this. You know, Christian friends can help you live the noble Christian life. And conversely, sinful people that are not saved and are not Christians, those kind of worldly friends will help you live a worldly life. And what kind of life do you want to live? You know, when you are at judgment day and stand before the Lord, the great judge, wouldn't it be good to have lived the Christian life? Amen. And if you and I want to live a noble, dedicated, honorable Christian life, then one thing that can really help you and help me is Christian friends. And then one more opening remark. Number one, opening remark, one of the greatest needs and desires everybody has is to have friends. Number two, Christian friends can help you live the Christian life. Number three, opening remark, I'd say this. If during your life, if you can have two or three good friends, then you've been blessed. You know, you have maybe many acquaintances, many people that you know their name, but I'm talking about those two or three good, dear, precious friends that you go to for advice and counsel and you go to for help. And you help them, and you advise them. If you can, during the course of your life, have two or three, if you have more than that, you're doubly blessed. But two or three lifelong friends, oh, you've been blessed. There's four M's that I want to give you today in my little sermon. Number one is marks of friendship. There's some marks of friendship. We find one of these marks in this verse, in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. A friend loveth, well, let's see what it says. A friend loveth some of the time. Is that what it says? All right, let me try it again. A friend loveth most of the time. Did I get it right? No. A friend loveth at all times. There's several marks of friendship. You know, a friend will share with you at all times. I'm talking about a real friend. Will always share with you. They'll share your burdens. Have you ever had a burden? Have you ever had an affliction? Have you ever suffered injustice and betrayal? This morning I got a message from a friend of mine. And one of our friends, one of our missionary friends, lost his wife this morning. She passed away. She had that ALS, that Lou Gehrig's disease. She had worked as a missionary alongside of her husband for years. She passed away. And my preacher friend who was telling me about it this morning, he said they've got this X number of dollars that they need for the funeral. They got $18,000 they owe to the hospital now. Now, have you ever been in that kind of circumstance? I had my wife in the hospital for 42 straight days. I was between 29 and 30 years old when this took place. My wife in the hospital, 42 straight days. The last 7 days they were there, they said, Mr. Fox, you've got to pay this amount of money or she cannot stay. That's just the way it is, Mr. Fox. I've already taken all the money out of my IRA. I'd already taken... I had nothing left. I've got a friend named Ray. My friend Ray had a baseball card collection. Baseball cards. Baseball cards. You know, they're just pieces of cardboard. You know what I'm saying? Thin little things. But some men think they're very valuable and will pay a lot of money. I've got a baseball card collection. I don't know where it is, but I've got one. But three cards, Johnny Bench, Johnny Bench, and Johnny Bench. I collected three Johnny Bench cards, and if I could find them, they would probably be worth 75 cents. You know what I'm saying? But my friend Ray, there were collectors who wanted the cards he had. These were collector's items. My friend sold. Hey, my friend sold some of his most valuable cards, unbeknownst to me. And he came and helped me with that hospital bill. Now, that's a friend. A friend, according to the Bible, according to this proverb, a friend loveth at all times. When you're on the mountaintop, that friend loves you. And when you're in the valley, that friend loves you. A friend shares. They will share your burdens, but they'll also share your victories. Share your victories. I've got a friend named Lloyd. Lloyd's 80 years old. He lost his wife. Lloyd had been married to his wife 49 and a half years. What's it like to have been married 49 and a half years? Wow. He lost his wife. I began to call him every single week just to encourage him. Finally, one day, he said, "Brother Fox, I want you to know I'm praying for a WWW. I said, "World Wide Web?" He said, "No." He said, "Brother Fox," he said, "Byron, a WWW." He said, "I'm praying for a WWW. He said, "That means a wealthy widow woman." Then I called him one January, and Lloyd said, "God's going to give me a wife this year." I said, "You've met someone." He goes, "No." He said, "But in my prayer time," he said, "I know God's put assurance in my heart. I'm going to have me a wife in 1 year." You know what? In 1 year, he had him a wife. But let me tell you something. Lloyd told me, during the time that he was unmarried and he'd lost his wife, he said, "You know, one of the things I miss so much is I miss sharing my victories with my wife." He plays golf. He'd go out and get a hole-in-one. Woo! He wants to tell somebody. When a man gets a hole-in-one, he wants to tell somebody about it, you know. It needs to make the news. He didn't have a wife to share it with. You know, a friend will help you share the victories and the burdens. A friend loveth at all times. A friend loves when it's on the mountaintop and in the valley. A friend will sharpen you. According to the Bible, a friend that loves you at all times, they will sharpen you. The Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. And so a friend will sharpen his friend. The Bible says that. That friends sharpen each other. They will sometimes give real advice. Maybe not what you want to hear, but a friend will tell you what you need to hear. A real friend will do that. Will not only share with you, but will sharpen you. A friend will make you a better person. They will help you. And a friend will stay with you no matter what. The Bible says here in verse 17, a friend loveth at all times. And a brother is born for adversity, even when things are bad. That friend will stay right with you. Someone said it this way, a friend will walk in when everybody else walks out. Let me say it again. Someone said it this way, a friend will walk in when everybody else is walking out. Oh yeah, a friend will stick with you. In the Bible, we have some notable friendships between different people. Let me tell you about one. In the Bible, we've got this man named David. I mentioned him in Sunday school. David, the great king of Israel. He had a friend. His friend name was Jonathan. Who was Jonathan? He was Saul's son. The first king of Israel was a man named Saul. Saul finally became envious. Saul became envious of David. Because David, he was a great warrior. He was a great man. And Saul became jealous and envious. And envy straight out of hell. Envy is a terrible thing. Saul was so envious of David. In fact, Saul even tried to kill David a few times. But David's good friend was Jonathan. And if you study the Bible, you'll learn some things about the friendship between David and Jonathan. And in my study and in my thinking on this very subject, I noticed something about the friendship between David and Jonathan. David in the Bible, he is a man after God's own heart. He served his generation. He is the fellow who killed Goliath. God used him to kill Goliath. Many wonderful things. But there were two terrible episodes in David's life. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. One time, the troops of Israel had gone out to fight in battle. And David, the captain, the leader, the warrior, David stayed home. And then David was tempted. He was tempted. He saw a woman. And he was tempted. You know, every man is going to be tempted. Tempted, being tempted is not a sin. Being tempted is not a sin. But David was not only tempted to sin, David yielded to the temptation, and David committed immorality. David, it's hard to believe, but you committed adultery with another man's wife. David, the man after God's own heart. He tried to cover his sin. And David, for 9 months or longer, lived the life of a hypocrite. David's known for writing songs, but during that time of his life, he's not writing songs. You know what the Bible says he did during that period of time? The Bible says he watered his couch with his tears. What are you weeping about, David? He's guilty. He knows he's guilty. He knows he's sinned, but he's continuing in his... He's not sleeping good at night. No. He said all the night long he made his bed to swim, is what the Bible says. He's tossing and turning. He's not getting a good night's rest. But gross sin. Another time, David, God told him, do not count the number of the people. Don't do that. What did David do? He counted the people. Flagrant disobedience. Now here's what I noticed. I told you about David living that notable Christian life, holy life, wonderful life. It was while Jonathan was alive that he did all these great accomplishments. After his friend Jonathan died, it's when he's caught in all this sin. And as I studied and thought about this sermon today, I wondered if Jonathan, because Jonathan in the Bible is a good man, he's a good friend. I just thought, you know, while Jonathan was alive, David lived a better life. Friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend will help you live for God. Amen. Number one in this little sermon, marks of friendship. Number two, fast. Hold your place right here in Proverbs chapter 17. Fast as you can, turn to Luke chapter 6. In the New Testament, the book of Luke, I've just read through the book of Luke. Luke's a wonderful Christian man. He's a doctor. He's a professional man. His name is rarely found in the Bible. But what a great fellow he is. And he records the words of Jesus for us here. I want to show you something. Point number one was marks of friendship. But number two is making friendships. How do you make friendships? Well, Jesus tells us how to make friends. How to make friends. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 31, Jesus tells us how to make friends. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 30, it says, give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Now, look at verse 31. You want to know how to make friends? Verse 31. Jesus said, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. As ye would that men would do to you, do ye also to them likewise. As you want people to treat you, treat them that way. How do you want to be treated? Well, I want to be treated well. Well, we ought to train and treat each other well and good. Let me tell you a few more things about making friends according to the Lord Jesus. Friends accept each other. A, accept what I'm trying to say. I want you to hear it. Friends accept each other. You know, your friends love you at all times. They treat you good no matter what. As you would that men would treat you, you treat them that way. Friends, they just accept each other. All the blemishes you've got, the warts, the failures, you know, your speech is not perfect, you have dangling participles, whatever those are, and split infinitives. And they're not the grammar police with you. They're your friend. You know, you're not all that handsome, but your friends like you anyway. Not in that great a shape. Now your friends like you anyway. Not that great a money manager. All your friends like you anyway. See, friends just accept each other. They absolutely accept each other with the flaws, all that. And then friends acknowledge each other. They treat each other right. They acknowledge each other. They don't manipulate each other. Friends don't manipulate and take advantage. No, that's not a good friend to take advantage and get over on other people. As the world would say, no, this getting over is not right. That's not the way friends are. No, friends accept each other. They acknowledge each other. Let me tell you a little story. This is a true story. There's a man, he's still alive right now. He's almost 100 years old. Can you imagine being 100? He's almost 100. I think he's like 98 years old. Well, he and a lady got married many years ago. And I don't know at this point, it must have been 75 to 80 years ago that they got married. His wife's passed away now. But you know what he decided? He decided that any time, this is when they first got married, he decided that any time that she would walk inside of a room, that he would stand up. That's really sweet. So here he is sitting down, you know, in a room. He's just been married a day. She walks into the room. He stands up. He's going to acknowledge her every time she comes in the room. She walked out. He just goes ahead and does whatever he's doing. She walks back in the room. He stands up. He's going to acknowledge. He's made himself a promise. Anytime she comes inside of a room that I'm in, I'm going to stand up. Oh, isn't that sweet? That's, oh, how precious, precious. Let's see how long that lasts. Yeah. 1 week later, he's still doing it. How about that? Nah. 1 month later, he's still doing it. 3 months later, he's still doing it. 3 years later, he's still doing it. Until he could physically no longer stand. He kept doing that his entire marriage with him. I mean, don't you know it? Sometimes he thought, I wish I'd have never made my mind up to do that. Or don't you know sometimes he would think, I wish that woman quit walking in and out of this room. But you know, friends acknowledge each other. They don't take advantage. No, no, no. They accept each other. They acknowledge each other. They affirm each other. They help each other. They affirm. You ever heard that little sort of slang? I got your back. I got your back. Yeah, friends. They do have each other's back. They affirm each other. They stand with each other. They assure each other. You know, you ever had a calamity in the middle of the night? A problem in the middle of the night? Who can you call in the middle of a night? You can still call a friend even in the middle of the night. A friend will help you even in the middle of the night. Friend will get out of the bed. They'll come help you. No matter what. A friend is there for you. A friend loveth at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. The Bible says so. These are the marks of friendship and the making of friends. Let's go on to M number 3. Maturing of friendships. Do friendships, can they mature? Look back at Proverbs 17:17. Just look at this verse. Mark this verse. Remember this verse. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Friendships just mature through time. They mature. They improve. May I ask this question? Will friendships ever cost you? Yeah. If you're going to be somebody's friend, it's going to cost you. My friend Ray that I told you about early in this message, I mean, Ray, what did it cost him? Being my friend, he sold his baseball cards. He still got some, but he sold his best ones. It cost him. Ray moved down to Texas, and that was my opportunity. His wife had to be put in the hospital, and his wife had some maladies. It was my turn to help him. I'm glad I had the opportunity to help my friend, Ray. This past last July, I was preaching a revival meeting, and oh my, we had 9 people saved the first morning in the Sunday morning service. Like this Sunday morning service is a Sunday morning. We had 9 people saved in the morning service. Had more people saved. More people. The crowds got bigger every single service. By Wednesday, the pastor of the church came to me, and the pastor said, look, if you want to extend this meeting, we'll be glad to extend the meeting, add on extra days. That's a very rare thing. I said, well, pastor, I don't extend meetings. I said, now, you have the authority to extend. I said, I can't call that audible. You have to call that. He said, I'm empowering you. If you want to extend it, you may. Well, thank you. You know, what preacher doesn't want to preach an extra day? And I got on my knees in front of the crowd on Wednesday night. I said, pastor has told me we could extend the meeting if God led me to ask you. And I said, I'm asking you, would you please let us extend on Thursday evening? Oh, yeah, we had another great service. More people saved, crowd even bigger. And in particular, the millennials, the aged 18 to 35, how they were responding. It was fantastic. Well, the preacher said to me Thursday, he said, now, if God wants you to, go ahead and extend it to Friday. I got on my knees again on Friday, Thursday evening after it was over. I said, hey, would you mind if we extend another night? And they said, yes. I mean, the people were like, yes, let's have another service. I said, well, let's have 2 services tomorrow. We'll have a 6:30 service and a 7:30 service. Have 2 and 1. And they said, yes. We had a millennial choir the final night. I mean, the whole platform filled with millennials up here. We had 2 choirs, the whole church choir and then the millennial choir. It's great. It's wonderful. Had more people saved. Many good things took place. Well, I'm driving home after that meeting. It's a 2-hour drive home. I'm driving home, and I'm rejoicing. Woo, what a meeting. Hallelujah. Many saved. One boy just answered the call to preach. He's starting a church now. He answered the call to preach in that meeting. Great stuff, man. Great stuff. Driving home. It's about midnight. The phone rings. I've got a friend in trouble. His friend is not walking with God. His friend is drunk. I hate to even say that. I hate alcoholic beverage. It's condemned in the Bible. The wrath of God is upon drunkenness. And so this family member, this friend, family member said, hey, can you go rescue so-and-so? They're over there in a bad place. I said, yes. Though I got on my road, I was looking forward to going to bed. I said, yes, I'll go. And I went and did a rescue of someone. I hate drunkenness. I despise it. But we love people, don't we? And we rescue people even if it's in the middle of the night and even if it's bad circumstances. Look, friendships will cost you. It will cost you. Being a friend will cost you. It takes time. It takes energy. So many things I wish I could say, but we've got to get to this last important point. Of all the things I've said, this is the most important. Turn with me as fast as you can to John chapter 15. I want to show you the ministry of friendship. We've talked about marks of friendship, making friendships, maturing friendships, but oh, fast as you can. John chapter 15. Thank you for your kind attention. Please do not stop listening now. Yeah, I'm beating on the pulpit because I'm trying to keep your attention. John chapter 15. I want you to see this. And Pastor, you quoted these verses. These are the words of Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you now the last few moments of this sermon about the ministry of friendship. John chapter 15 and verse 13 and 14. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then Jesus said, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is a friend of sinners. And for that, I am grateful. Jesus is a friend of sinners. I qualify because I'm a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I like and love all of you. I don't know you very well, but God has put a love in my heart for people. God has done that. But Jesus Christ, there's no friend like He. There's no friend like Jesus Christ. Let me tell you a little about Jesus and His friendships. Jesus ordained 12 disciples. There's 12 disciples. And these men from lots of different backgrounds. I wish I had time to talk all about that. Amazing, the different fellows. There were these 12 disciples. But one of them was the greatest imposter of all time. You think Benedict Arnold was bad? Judas Iscariot. Oh my, what an imposter. A lost man, faking like he was a Christian. Working along with the disciples. He's lost. He's lost. What did he end up doing? He betrayed Jesus Christ. Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what happened. Jesus has been praying in the garden. I've been to that very garden. And Jesus is praying in the garden. And here comes Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something amazing. There comes Judas Iscariot, and there come the soldiers. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said this to Judas Iscariot. As Judas is coming to betray him, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Friend, why art thou come?" You look it up. What Jesus said to him. Jesus called Judas Iscariot friend. Can you imagine that? Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ wanted to save Judas Iscariot. It was God's will for Judas Iscariot to get saved. There was grace available for Judas Iscariot to get saved. But you know what Judas did? Judas rejected Christ as Savior. Judas rejected the grace of God. You either accept or you reject. It's one of the two. There's no in between on the matter. You're either a child of God or a child of the devil. You're either saved or lost. And Judas Iscariot did not get saved. In fact, he ends up committing suicide. According to the Bible, he's in hell right now. And once someone goes to hell, you can't pray people out of hell. You can't give it. I'll give enough money to God. I'll give the church money to get my relative out of hell. I'll give my friend out of hell. You can't do that. But Jesus would have saved Judas Iscariot if Judas would have repented of sin and flee. That's what you do to get saved. You must repent. Sincere regret. A turning from sin. There must be repentance. The Bible says that God loves a contrite heart. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Here comes Judas. Jesus said, friend. Isn't that amazing? Let me tell you another one. Tell me about how Jesus is the friend of sinners. Let me tell you about this. There's a man. He was a terrible crook. He was known for being a terrible, untrustworthy man. You know, every mom in this room got a mom up here with their little baby. And mamas, aren't mamas precious? Praise God for mamas. I'm glad I've got a mama. Mama. Every mama ought to be a Christian mama. Every mama would want her children to live right and godly and holy. But this man in this passage that I'm telling you about in the Bible, this man, he had wasted his life. He had ruined his life. He had squandered his life. He had rejected the plan of God. He rejected the Ten Commandments about thou shalt not steal. He rejected that. He said, that can be for others, but it's not for me. I'm going to steal. I'm going to do anything I want to. He got caught. Got put in jail, in prison. He got sentenced to die. He was such a bad crook, they sentenced him to die. In fact, there were two thieves being executed this day. They were being executed on a cross. There were three being executed that day. Jesus Christ was right on the middle cross. And these two thieves, one over here that I've been telling you about, and this thief over here. And three were being crucified that day. The most extreme punishment allowed by Roman law was death by crucifixion. There was nothing more extreme physically than that. Oh, Lord, help us. Both of the thieves began to ridicule and rail. That's the Bible word. They railed on Jesus. R-A-I-L. They railed on Jesus. Finally, this thief over here came to his senses. And he rebuked that other thief for railing on Christ. And this thief on the cross, let me tell you. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That's what this thief, who had wasted his whole life, he's being crucified right beside Jesus. He deserves to die. He's been such a horrible criminal. A malefactor, the Bible calls him. And he says to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who's dying on a cross beside him. Christ is laying down his life for the sin of the world. And this thief said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know what Jesus said to him that day? Christ on this middle cross said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What a Savior. What a friend. There's not a friend like Jesus Christ. This thief who's wasted his whole life, he's about to die. And the thief wants to be saved. And Jesus, who is the best friend anyone has ever had, Jesus saved that man. What a Savior. With that song in our hymnal, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, there's no friend like Jesus Christ. It's in 1972 that I learned that Jesus Christ would save me. The Bible says it this way. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Would you please bow your heads with me? I'd like to talk to you for another moment or two. And then we're going to do what we have at our church. We call it invitation, where we invite people to join church, to make themselves candidate for baptism, to make public decisions. But right now, in the stillness of this moment, I've learned as an evangelist that I must bring people to a point of decision. And I'm trying to do that with you today. I'm nobody. But Jesus Christ is the best friend anybody's ever had. I trusted Christ as my Savior 43 years ago. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. How do you receive Christ? Let me tell you how. You that are here today that have never received Christ, in the stillness of this moment, I'd love to share with you how to receive Christ as your Savior. Very simple. Number one, you must repent of sin. Jesus said, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There is a hell. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. It's God's will for everyone in this room to be saved. If you have never received Christ as Savior, you need to receive Christ as Savior today. How do you do that? Well, number one, you must repent. There must be contrition. There must be sorrow, godly sorrow for sin. Sin separates man from God. There must be sorrow for sin. Repentance of sin must be made to be saved. So the first thing to receive Christ, you must repent. There's one more thing. There's two things. Number two, You must believe. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You must believe in Christ. You must believe that He's the Son of God. If you don't believe that, you're not saved. You must believe that He died on the cross for you. He did. You need to believe that. You must believe that He was buried. Christ was buried about 2,000 years ago. And then Jesus Christ, 3 days later, rose from the dead. That's a documented fact. But you must believe it. If you do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are not saved. The Bible is clear. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the main theme of the entire Bible. Now I ask you, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today? Let me ask it this way, with heads bowed and eyes closed. Me and Jesus want to look right now. No one else, please. How many of you have already received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior sometime in the past? Would you raise a hand right now and say, I received Christ sometime back. God bless you. Amen. Is there some in this room right now that would say, Brother Fox, I want to receive Christ as my Savior today. I want to be saved. Would you raise a hand right now where you are? It's just as simple as that. Let me and Jesus know. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Would you raise a hand right now? Just raise a hand and let me and the Lord know. You know, the day that I wanted to be saved, I went forward. I had folks to deal with. In fact, in a few moments, we'll be glad to deal with anyone who has questions about what it is to be saved. Would everyone quietly stand, please? I'm going to ask our pianist to come, and in a moment she's going to play Just As I Am, without one plea. But that Thy blood, Christ's blood, was shed for me. And we've got men and women who would be glad to talk with you about your receiving Christ as your Savior. If you're interested in being saved, as the music plays in just a moment, I want you to come forward. Lord, please help our friends to be saved today. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are still bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking, but the music's playing. And anyone who would want to come right now in the stillness of this moment, come up here. Pastor Jason Betts is up here. And he'll be glad to talk with you, all the men and women who might want to come and just say, I'd like to hear more about receiving Christ as Savior. Would you come right now? Just step out from where you are. Come right now, and we'll be glad to share with you. And then I want to open up right now all the men and women who are saved, who want to come and get on their knees and pray to God about something. You may all around this platform, those who want to come, men and women who want to come and pray. Yes, come on, all that want to come and pray about anything. And those who want to receive Christ as Savior, you may come right now and come to Pastor Betts, who's right in front of me. All the men and women, the boys and girls, anyone who wants to come and pray a while, you're among friends here today. We're all friends. We're not here to embarrass anyone. We wouldn't think of embarrassing folk. We'd never mean to do that, ever, ever. Those who want to receive Christ as Savior, come to Pastor Betts, would you please? Let us take a Bible and show you how to receive Christ as your Savior. As the music continues, we're not in a hurry at this point. Please, we're not in a hurry at all. Eternal decisions. Where I was last Sunday, we had folks wanting to be saved. We had four folks that left the service rejecting Christ as Savior. You either accept Christ as Savior or you reject Christ. And if you're here today and you're not saved, once you reject Jesus as Savior, you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. I'm glad that God often gives people another chance. But you're not guaranteed another chance. You don't need me to be saved. You don't need this church to be saved. In fact, this church has never saved anyone. We can't save anyone. In fact, I keep using that word saved. Saved. Well, it's a Bible word. Saved is a Bible word. Saved from what? Saved from going to hell. Saved from my sin. One time, by the grace of God, There was someone drowning. I was able to leap into the water and rescue that person from drowning. I'm amazed God let me do that. I think back to that and go, wow, that's amazing. About to rescue someone from drowning. Well, it's like that to be saved. It's Jesus Christ that rescues us from our sin. We're drowning in sin without Jesus. But He is the Savior. He can save us from sin. He saved us from going to hell. And only Christ can do that. Good works can't do it. Church can't do it. Being a good mason can't do it. Being a good citizen can't do it. No, there's no other way to be saved except through Jesus Christ, the greatest friend there is.
For the friendship of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We thank you for the greatest gift that He offers to us in dying on the cross in our place.
Yes, Lord.
And taking our sin. We pray for the many friends among us that if there's a question about eternity, a hesitation about the forgiveness of their sin being right with you for all of eternity, that today they'd have that settled. Based not on feeling, or what a church would teach, but what your word, the Bible, tells us. We thank you for this good message about friendship and how it's impacted us. And all of us have been challenged to be better friends to those around us. And Lord, help us to be more thoughtful of those that we come into contact with each day, that we would bless them.